Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. Merry Christmas, and if you're watching this later, if you're watching it in the new millennium, then I hope you have a good new year as well. This message tonight is especially appropriate at this Christmas time and also with the turn of the century right around the corner, but it's appropriate any time of the year, so I hope you'll stick with me and watch the rest of this message, which is called Stocking Up on Your Faith. The reason I wanted to do this message is with Y2K right around the corner. I felt like it was very appropriate to talk about what God wants us to do in preparation for whatever might come in the future. No one knows what might happen after the first of the year. And we may know people, and you may know people, who are stocking up on various things, on food and on water and on different supplies. You may know people who have moved out into the country foreseeing that something may come that's very terrible. And I was asking God earlier this year if there was anything that I should do, because I believe we all have different roles to play in the world and in what's to come. And I said, God, what do you want me personally to do? And I felt like God said, Eric, I want you to stock up on your faith, and I want you to help others to stock up on their faith too. So that's what I'm doing tonight. I want to give you some practical examples and some practical ways that you can stock up on your faith. I'll share some ways that I stock up on mine, and hopefully that will help you in stocking up on yours too. I want to start with a story, though, about some people who faced a different turn of events about 3,500 years ago. And those were the Israelites. When they were in Egypt, they faced a similar situation where the future was very uncertain. They were coming out after being slaves in Egypt, and they were going to go into the desert. And they didn't know how long they were going to be there or what was going to lie ahead of them. And yet God sent them with many provisions. It says in Exodus that God sent the Egyptians, or made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the Israelites. And they gave them all of their food, their clothing, their gold, their silver. Flocks and herds went with the Israelites. So here are the Israelites. There are about 600,000 men, the Bible says, plus the women and children. So well over a million or more people were going to travel out in the desert with all this food and clothes and supplies and herds and baking bread and just the different things that they were going to take with them. But as I thought through that and how that might pan out, my thinking thought about what might happen in Y2K as well. We can stock up and store up supplies for a very long time, but how long can those supplies last? And how long can the supplies last for the Israelites who are going to go out into the desert for who knows how long? And I realized that at some point those supplies were going to run out. In fact, the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, and there's no way you can carry enough water on your shoulders for the next 4 weeks, let alone the next 40 weeks or the next 40 years. And somehow they were going to have to put their trust in God, that God would provide for them. And that's what I believe we need to do as well here. There's nothing wrong with preparing, nothing wrong with getting ready for the future. In fact, just a few chapters before the Exodus takes place, Joseph talks about storing up for 7 years. They stored up grain to last through a famine of 7 years. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And yet at some point, we need to put our trust in the God who created us and the God who cares for us to get us through anything, and we need not be afraid. Now, the Israelites, what God did for them is fairly remarkable, and I want to tell you just that story so that you can be encouraged that God can really come through when there seems no other way to provide for us. You may be facing struggles where you don't see how God can come through, maybe in your marriage or with your kids, maybe at work, or maybe with your finances, maybe with your health, the different things that you're facing in your life, you say, how can God possibly come through? Well, here's what the Israelites were facing. They had all of these people, hundreds of thousands of people, heading out into the desert. And after about 45 days, they were running out of food. And they complained to Moses, and they said, Moses, why did you bring us out here? Did you bring us out here to starve to death? We could have stayed back in Egypt, and we had plenty to eat there. Even though we were slaves, we were well fed. And Moses turned to God, and he cried out to God, and he said, God, what are we going to do? And God said that he would rain down on them bread from heaven, And he said, this is what I'm going to provide you to eat. I'll provide enough bread for all of you in the morning, and I'll provide meat every evening for you. And so God actually sent down from heaven a substance that had never been seen before. It was called manna. And this manna came down from heaven like flakes from the sky. And God says it was like a bread. And the Bible describes it like a white coriander seed that tastes like wafers made with honey. And so it had this little white flakes or seed on the ground. And the people would go out and gather this. And then they would be able to make bread out of it. They had never seen it before, and so when they went out the first day and saw it, they exclaimed, what is it? And that's how it got its name. The name manna comes from the words, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. They'd never seen it before. And yet, every day from then on, for 40 years, God provided that manna for them to eat. And in fact, God said that if you try to store it up, if you try to save it even overnight, it will spoil, it will get rotten. You need to go and collect the manna fresh every day. So the Israelites would go out in the morning, they would gather their manna, and then they would eat the bread from it. And some people disobeyed what Moses commanded, and they kept it overnight. And the next morning the manna was full of maggots, and it was terrible. And so they realized that they needed to obey God. Now, just to let you know that this was absolutely God, and it wasn't just some desert phenomena that occurred, God said that the manna would be there for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they were all to rest and not go out and gather manna. There would be no manna on the seventh day. So on the sixth day, he would provide twice as much manna. And they could gather it, and overnight on the sixth day, they could store it up, and it would last. So they did this, and on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, they stored it, and the next day, the manna was still good. It wasn't full of maggots, and they were able to eat it. Now some people again disobeyed what God told through Moses, and they went out on the seventh day, and they tried to collect manna. And they looked everywhere, and they couldn't find it. And here's what God says to those people. He said, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is, and on the seventh day, and no one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. So this was more than just a desert phenomenon. This was actually food provided by the hand of God. 6 days worth, and the seventh day was provided on the sixth day. And that occurred for week after week. In fact, it lasted all the way until they got to the border of Canaan, the land that God wanted to bring them into. And it says the day after they entered Canaan and started eating from that land, the manna stopped, and no one's ever seen manna since. They stored it in some jars, put it in the Ark of the Covenant, and that's the only remaining manna, and no one has found that ark ever since that time either, or since the days of David. So this manna was a unique substance that God provided for his people. Now, I tell you that because it's encouraging to me that God can make a way when there is no possible way for us to eat. He can make a way to restore marriages. He can make a way to give health to our dying bones. God very much has resources and powers that we're totally unaware of. We have no idea what he might do for us in the future. And he told Joshua not to be afraid, but to trust in him. And he's telling us the same thing. He says, don't be afraid, trust in me. And so we need to put our trust in God. You know, the Bible is full of stories of people who had to put their trust in God. Elijah was one who, when there was a famine in the land, he had nothing to eat, and God sent him to a particular city where there was a brook, and he could drink from the brook, and God said to him, he would send birds to actually bring bread and meat to him to eat. Here's what it says in 1 Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here. Turn eastward and hide in the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there. So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So here God said that he ordered the ravens to bring him this food. It's not like the ravens just happened to be passing by with loaves of bread and dropped them where Elijah was. God actually ordered the ravens to do this and to bring bread and meat to Elijah to keep him alive and keep him going. My first practical step for you in the Bible, or in building up your faith, is to read the Bible regularly. When we read stories like the ones recorded in the Bible, we're able to be encouraged that God can be there for us too. Now, the reason I say read it regularly, you may have read the Bible already once in your life. You may have just read parts of it. Maybe you've never read any of it before on your own as an adult. But God wants us to be filled with the Word of God and to feed on the Word of God. When you read some of the best experts on being motivated for sales or different secular positions, they always say, get our tapes, buy our tapes, and listen to them over and over and over, and they'll help you stay motivated. Get tapes of other people who have been successful. Read books. Read stories, and just fill yourself with how people have been successful, and that will keep you motivated and keep you encouraged. Well, that's just a simple principle from the Bible. God says He wants us to meditate on His Word day and night, and that as we do, we'll be able to keep those things that God says constantly before us. It's not brainwashing, it's simply God washing. It's God washing our mind, renewing our mind, cleansing us, and keeping us always before Him. Here's what He said to Joshua when He sent Joshua into the land. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, do not let this book of the law, the words of the Bible that he had so far, do not let this book of the Bible, book of the law, depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So in the same breath, God says, don't be terrified, don't be discouraged. I'll make you prosperous. I will be there with you. I will be there wherever you go. In that same passage, He says, meditate on this book day and night. So you might want to just pick up your Bible. And the new year is a great time to start a Bible reading program. If you don't have a good Bible that's readable, you can just go to any bookstore or Walmart or different places and buy one that you can just read. Just pick one up that you can read well and that's understandable to you, and you'll find a good translation. I've got some recommendations if you'll email me too. But you can just pick up a Bible that's good for you to read and just start with the new year. And just start with some stories. I've listed some there on your screen in the message notes that you can start with. And even that story about the manna from heaven back in Exodus. Or maybe the story about Joseph, when Joseph had dreams and his dreams came true. Those are great stories from Genesis. Or if you'd like to read just the great story about the birth of Jesus, read the first chapter of Luke. If you want to read about the whole life of Jesus, maybe the book of John would be good. And you could just read and get all about Jesus and hear about what he did and what he said. Me, I just pick up and I just start at Genesis and I just keep reading until I get to the other end. And then when I get done with it, I start again. Now that may take me a year or 2 years or 3 years, depending on how fast or what I'm doing particularly at the time. But just to continually stay in the Word of God, and that will feed your faith, and it will help you to get built up so that you can face anything that God might have or that Satan might throw at you. Now that's one thing that you can do. The first thing is to read the Bible regularly. The second thing that I want you to do is to pray and to listen for what God has to say to you. Now, some people don't use prayer very often, and some people just use prayer just to throw up requests to God and then they walk away. What I want to encourage you to do is to pray and then sit before God, wait before Him, and listen for Him to speak to you as well. God still speaks to His people, just like He spoke to Moses, just like He spoke to Joshua, just like He spoke to Jesus, just like He spoke to Paul and John and Adam and Noah. God still speaks to His people. There's nothing surprising about that. The only surprising thing is why we don't take advantage of it more. It's sometimes hard just to quiet our hearts long enough to listen to God. But I've noticed the best time that I've ever had in my life in hearing from God has been when I've just carved out an hour or so in the morning to just sit before God. Now, that was a period of time where I was able to do that, and I would still love to do that now. and different times I'm able to spend different amounts of time. So whether you can spend an hour or 10 minutes or 3 hours, whatever you can do to sit before God, and I like to just read the Bible. And then I like to take out a journal, something to write with, and I just write down some things that I'm praying about, and I write down my requests to God. And then I just sit before God and let God speak to me. Let Him fill my mind with any thoughts that He has to fill them with. Let Him speak to my heart about the issues that I'm facing. Maybe He'll bring to mind a scripture, or maybe He'll bring to mind some question, or maybe He'll bring to mind something that you can do for the day. God has a purpose for our lives. He's got a purpose for every day of our lives, plus He's got a purpose for our entire life. And if we'll sit still long enough before God, He will actually speak that to us. And in fact, He wants us to know that purpose even more than we want to know it. Sometimes we get frustrated when we don't hear it, but sometimes we're actually hearing it and we just don't recognize His voice. And God will make that clear too. He'll show you over time that it is Him speaking, that He is talking to you. So I want you to pray and then wait for God's answers. Here's what King David did in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. It describes, this is a psalm of David, and he writes what he did. It says, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Here's King David, ruler of an incredible country, and he just says, "In the morning, I bring my request to you, and then I wait in expectation." Jesus would sometimes spend all night praying and talking with God. There are different instances throughout the Bible of people who pray. And as you read the Bible and continue to read it, you'll see different examples of Daniel or Joseph or the people who would go to God with their requests and how God answered their prayers. I want to encourage you to read those stories so that you can say, wow, maybe God will speak to me too. And I can assure you that He will. I believe that God will speak to you just like you can hear a radio broadcast if you turn your frequency on your radio just to the right channel. You wouldn't hear it normally. But when you can get the frequency just right, you'll be able to hear. And we can do the same thing in prayer. If we can get the frequency right with God and get our lives right with God, He can speak to us and speak to our hearts, tell us what to do, and give us a purpose and a meaning for our lives. So that's the second thing, is to pray regularly. First is read your Bible regularly. Second is pray regularly and listen for God's direction. The third and final thing that I believe is good for stocking up on your faith is to act on what you read about and what you hear in prayer. Faith, someone has said, is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. When we exercise our bodies, we can get stronger. And the more we exercise, the stronger we get. It's the same with faith. When we read something in the Bible, and the Bible tells us to maybe do something, or Jesus' words challenge us to do something different with our lives, or to turn from our sins, or to give to the church, or to do different things that the Bible might call us to do. When we put that into practice and we begin doing that and we see that it works and that it's successful and that it blesses us and blesses other people, then it encourages us to do more. That's how we strengthen and build up our faith. As we step out in faith, take the chance that what God is saying is true and then walk in it, we can see that God really is faithful, and God honors those steps of obedience, and it gives us more confidence to do another step of faith. And that increases our faith. God called me about 4.5 years ago to quit my job after 10 years and to go into full-time ministry. Now, that was a great thing to do, but it was a very difficult thing to do. God told me to do it the next day. I had 1 day to decide what to do. And I wouldn't have been able to make that kind of a decision, I don't think, 10 years earlier in my Christian walk. But over a period of about 10 years of walking faithfully with God and answering His call in some smaller steps of faith, my faith was increased to the point where I could take a bigger step of faith. And I continue to be challenged with larger and larger steps of faith, which is what God wants to do with each of us, because He has some great things that He wants to do through us. And we need to exercise our faith just like we would exercise our bodies. Now, it made me think this Thanksgiving I was with a friend who was saying how she had a treadmill in her house and it made her feel great just to know that she had this treadmill. Even though she hardly ever used it, she just felt healthier and felt better about herself that she had this treadmill and could use it anytime she wanted to. Now, it made me think of the Bible and prayer and church and the different religious things that we have in our lives. If we have a Bible, but we've just got it on the shelf, we may feel better. We feel good that we've got a Bible. Or we know that prayer works and we have access to prayer anytime we want to. That makes us feel better to know that we have those things, or that we have a church that we call our church, whether we go to it regularly or not. We just feel good knowing that we have a church. We've got access to prayer if we need it, and we've got a Bible if we need it. But those things will make us no healthier spiritually than that treadmill sitting in the room unless we use them, unless we make use of them, unless we read the Bible, pray diligently, go to church, be involved in the things that God wants us to be involved with. Even just reading the Bible and praying isn't enough. We need to act upon what we read and pray about. So it's the action, putting our faith into action, that gives us the final build-up and the workout in our faith. That's what really strengthens us. When we can see that God is faithful in the little things, we'll have faith that He can do the bigger things. So those are the three practical steps. Read your Bible regularly, pray regularly and listen for His direction, and then act on what you read and hear. About this third point, James has a great quote that he said regarding acting on our faith. In James 1:22, he says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." So we can't just hear these things from God. We can't just hear even a message like this tonight and then think that we're going to be spiritually stronger. These do build us up. They help us to know what to do next. But the next step is up to you. The next step is in your hands as to how you're going to strengthen your faith. And it's in my hands, and it's in my wife's hands, who's here with me. And we need to take our own steps to increase our faith and to be ready for whatever's to come. I want to close with this description of the manna that came down from heaven for the Israelites. You know, that manna was not just for the Israelites. Even though that was a one period of time occurrence, that particular manna that came down like white flakes to the ground, God still provides manna for His people today. And He provides it in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself said this very thing. In John chapter 6, Jesus had just provided bread for thousands. He fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And He was able to feed all of these people by multiplying that bread so it fed everyone. And the people came to Him and they were all following after Him. And He said, you know, don't be looking for the bread that spoils, for food that's here on this earth. You need to be looking for bread from heaven. And they said, well, what is this bread from heaven? We know that Moses had bread sent from heaven. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The people said, sir, from now on give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. He goes on to say, I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. We can receive manna from heaven every day. You may notice on your screen it looks like snowflakes falling in front of a window. Well, it could look like snowflakes, but to me it looks like manna from heaven. As a reminder to me that God has sent Jesus to be the living bread, to feed us, to nourish us. And if we put our faith in him, we will not die, but we will live forever. Jesus promises us eternal life with him in heaven if we will repent from our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins, and then we could have access to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you've never made a decision to put your faith in Christ, I encourage you to do it today. There's not a day that we should let go by without putting our faith in Christ. If you have heard these words and God has quickened them in your hearts and you want to say a prayer, I want to pray with you in just a few minutes and pray that God will seal that in your heart, that you can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. If you've already put your faith in Christ in that sense of being forgiven of your sins, but today you just need to renew your faith in Christ and just say, Jesus, I want to put my faith in you. I want to eat from your bread of eternal life, and I want to continue to walk in your ways. I just need provision. I need finances. I need health. I need your understanding and your compassion. I need more of you in my life, God. God will honor that kind of a prayer. And I want to pray with you, too, that God would encourage you in your faith. Before I pray, I just want to play one song on the piano that reminds us of what this season is about. It's called What Child Is This? And we're approaching the 2000th birthday of our Lord. And I just want you to take just this next 2 or 3 minutes to just sit before the Lord. Don't go anywhere, but just sit before the Lord. And as I play, just speak to God about whatever's on your heart. Trust that he's going to answer you. And just let him speak into your life about anything that you might want to do or act on as a result of what you've heard today. Then we'll come back and pray, and we'll close up. Say a prayer together. Lord, I thank you that you will always be there. Whether computers go up or go down, Lord. Whether the power stays on or goes off, Lord. We can always come to you, Lord, in prayer. Prayer will always work. Faith will always work. Your Son, Jesus, will forgive and will save us. And I thank you, Lord, that you never fail. Lord, I pray that we would all be able to put our faith in you anew today, to trust you, that you will be there for us. Lord, I pray that people who are going through seasons of their life where they just can't take it anymore, I pray that you would bring them through that season, Lord, and that they would get on the other side of it, and they would look back and they would say, wow, I thought I'd never get out of it, but Lord, you've brought me through it. Lord, for those who are in great seasons right now, I just pray that they would keep on going and keep believing in you and keep doing what you're calling them to do. Lord, for anyone who's watching who needs to put their faith in you for the first time, I just pray that you would encourage them in their heart to just say a prayer of forgiveness and ask for your forgiveness, that they would repent from their sin, or that they would say something like this, Dear God, I am so sorry for the things I've done wrong. I believe that Jesus died for those things so that I could be free and forgiven. Lord, help me believe that in my heart, that I do not need to pay the eternal penalty, Lord, even if there are consequences here on this earth. But help me know that I am forgiven in your sight. Give me that assurance today, so that I can walk with you in heaven forever. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for everyone who's got fears of Y2K, or just feeling lonely at this Christmas time, or just needing you to come through in a miraculous way, whether it's providing manna from heaven, or food from the ravens, or whatever it might be. I just pray, God, that you would encourage them, that you will be there for them, and that in the fullness of time, you will deliver them. You will do what you promised for them. And God, I pray that they would have the patience to wait eagerly in expectation for you. Lord, I thank you for this time, and I thank you for your Son, Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I'm really glad you came and that you watched through this broadcast. If you'd like to chat with us after the live broadcast, I'd be glad to chat and pray with you more, and some other people will join us in the chat room who can pray with you. Just go to the Talk to Someone page, and you'll be able to enter the chat room, and we can talk. Or you can email me anytime during the week at the address at the bottom of the screen. Also, if you'd like to join us in a chat room or have just a private chat sometime, we can set that up as well. I just want to encourage you in your faith, and I want to let you know that God will be there, and God is alive, and He's active, and he will work in your life. I hope that you have a great Christmas and a great holiday, and that if you're watching this in the new year, that it's going as well as and better than you had expected. God bless you. Good night.